From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Carrie Young. Welcome to Consider This in Boston, where colleges and universities are set to reopen in person. Just like last semester, most have vaccine and mask mandates and also testing requirements. So is any of this actually helping? For more on that question, we're joined now by GBH's Kirk Carapezza. Hey, Kirk, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Carrie, good to be here.
So, I hear you were in WBUR's neck of the woods the other day to check out how things were going at Boston University. What did campus feel like in this kind of post-holiday Omicron surge era?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice BU and the trustees allowed me on campus. But I found folks there are pretty uneasy. Spring classes start today at BU, so I headed over there to the main campus just to check out the vibe. And it was frigid, and mass students were already trickling onto campus. There's hand sanitizer dispensers inside of dorms that are tagged with stickers that read, "Don't go viral." And there's this billboard on Comm Ave that says, "BU is back. Let's keep it that way."
Let's keep it that way. Kind of sounds almost threatening.
It's a lot of tuition dollars on the line.
I know, right? Well, how are students feeling about all of this?
They're nervous. Junior Evan Jimenez from New Jersey is excited to be back on campus, but he's also pretty anxious.
I'm in two minds about it. I kind of understand why they're doing it from a financial point of view, like why we need to keep going. But there's obviously still a danger, and a lot more people are catching it, even those who are vaccinated.
Citing spiking numbers and breakthrough infections, some colleges across the country, including Cornell, Duke, and the University of California system, are delaying the return to campus dates. Most colleges here in Massachusetts, though, will be like BU. They're going to be on time and in person. The University of Massachusetts system, state universities, and nearly all of the state's community colleges plan to reopen this week or next.
You know, it's interesting. The sense I'm getting from you and even from my own reporting in the K-12 sphere, it's almost like there's this attitude of, let's just soldier on here, you know, even though Omicron is so contagious right now. Does it feel to you like college administrators are almost kind of resigned to the fact there might be COVID spread in the community?
I think so. College leaders tell me they know they'll see more cases on campus this semester, so they're just trying to look for a way to live with the virus and to limit its spread and to weather the latest storm. I was just looking at some enrollment data from the National Student Clearinghouse. It's what higher ed reporters do in their free time. In Massachusetts, there are 31,000 fewer students enrolled in college than before the pandemic. Higher costs and demographics are just working against these schools. So many of them, I think, feel the pressure to be in person, to offer something that other schools can't online. I spoke with Chris Marzicano. He directs the College Crisis Initiative at Davidson College, and he's been tracking COVID plans for more than 500 four-year colleges.
It's going to be like a tornado. It comes in fast, does a lot of damage, and then leaves very quickly.
Marzicano's research team finds about 1 in 8 colleges in the U.S. are beginning their semester remotely, and just under 3% are delaying the start.
This narrative of colleges just transitioning online is just not what we're seeing in the data, at least not yet. It's possible that will change as spikes go up, but most colleges and universities are staying in person and staying on time.
Marzicano points out a majority of schools have more than a 50% vaccination rate, and just a quarter of schools are requiring booster shots. Of the 21 institutions his team surveyed here in Massachusetts, 20 are requiring boosters.
And so a boosted, vaccinated population wearing masks is not likely to be the spreader that these colleges were prior to vaccinations and boosters. Science is amazing, man.
Kirk, do you get the sense that the threat from the Omicron variant or even possible future variants is affecting how school leaders are thinking about things and plans for in-person learning especially?
Yeah, and I think epidemiologists generally agree with Marzicano's assessment of science here and the Omicron variant.
I think everybody's hoping that it's going to, you know, rise really quickly and fall as quickly.
That's David Hamer. He's an infectious disease specialist and teaches at BU's School of Public Health. His most recent analysis shows no evidence of in-classroom transmission at BU based on genetic sequencing samples that were collected during the fall semester.
Well, I mean, that does sound encouraging. I am curious too, Kirk. One thing that I've been hearing more about among younger students is that this rise in Omicron is causing a spike in anxiety for them. And it's not necessarily about getting the virus or the chance of getting the virus in their classroom, but it's this looming threat that they might have to return to remote learning again. Does that PTSD almost exist among college students too?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, administrators don't want to go back to remote learning. Professors, students, I think, you know, for the most part, I think people prefer in person. No one wants to send the students home, and the students don't want to go home again. 20-year-old Evan Jimenez told me that he and his friends are really worried about that. You know, they're worried about being isolated if BU students are sent home for a second time since the start of the pandemic.
Having to do it again would be, I think, another level of mental stress and anxiety, and not to mention feeling like the world is falling apart again.
And like many students here in Boston, Jimenez doesn't want to return to a Zoom classroom. But with the Omicron variant spreading here, he hopes BU will allow more teachers to make their lectures available online.
Well, Kirk, thanks for joining us today and talking back to school.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for allowing me on the BU campus.
Anytime. That's GBH higher education correspondent Kirk Carapeza. Before we go, I should tell you what else is happening. Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey has entered the race for governor. Healey has been widely expected to jump in, and she made it official in a video announcement posted online early this morning. In the video, the attorney general touts her record.
My team protected students and homeowners from predatory lenders, took on ExxonMobil for lying about climate change, and Purdue Pharma and the Sacklers for fueling the opioid epidemic.
Healey joins a field of Democratic candidates that includes State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz and Harvard political theorist Danielle Allen. The three are set to face off in the September primary. On the Republican side of the race, State Representative Jeff Deal is the only major candidate who's declared so far. In coronavirus news, signs of COVID-19 in Boston area wastewater are continuing to drop. But local experts say that even the reduced numbers are still high. Tufts Medical Center epidemiologist Shira Daron says that recent data from South Africa, where Omicron first spread, indicate that over the long term, the drop in infections may slow down.
Which means more infections on the downslope than we had on the upslope, which is still a lot of infections to come. But we don't know. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to think there's not another variant around the corner.
Daron says that at her hospital, COVID infections among employees are on the decline. And finally, former Boston City Councilor Lydia Edwards is being sworn in as a state senator today. Edwards won a special election earlier this month. She'll represent parts of Boston, Revere, Winthrop, and Cambridge. Ahead of her inauguration, Edwards outlined some of the priorities she wants to tackle for her constituents.
Lifting the ban on rent control. All of these different things, you know, they have to go to the state house to allow for municipalities to deal with the everyday concerns in this housing crisis and in this pandemic. And I think sometimes that is frustrating.
Once she's sworn in, Edwards will be the only Black woman in the state Senate. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, Boston's dynamic duo of public broadcasting, I'm Carrie Young, and I'll see you tomorrow. It's been such a hard year, but the universe has some good news for the lost, lonely, and the heartsick. Dear Sugars is hosted by Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond, who field all of your questions, no matter how deep or dark, and offer radical empathy in return. Check out Dear Sugars, wherever you get your podcasts.